Welcome to the Stephen and Arjun's Football Podcast, where they discuss anything football, everything football. This podcast is brought to you by Starstruck Bakery and Misuboy SG. Craving for party treats like cakes and cookies in Subang Jaya? Visit starstruck.bakery on Instagram. Or would you like tiramisu in Singapore? Visit misuboy.sg on Instagram as well.
Hi, welcome to the Football Universe podcast. We have been in a very long hiatus, and I don't know whether we'll continue future episodes, but it's good to be back. My name is Uday. I'm the host for today's episode. With me, I have co-host and Manchester United fan.
Thanks, Uday. It's really good to be back on this podcast.
Yeah, it's been long, and it's been such a lot of changes have happened, right, since the last time we were recording a podcast.
Yeah, of course. But
yeah, it's crazy. I think Man City won the treble.
Unfortunately, so.
Yeah, exactly. And it was last season, and this is the second Manchester team to do it after Manchester United. And this was the one thing that we Manchester United fans had. But now all we get to do is talk about the number of titles we have, which is still 20. So, you know, let's keep it. Let's hope no one surpasses the 20. But at this rate, Man City might catch up in like 10 years already. So, you know. It's good to be back. Man City won the Premier League, they won the Champions League. Arjun, how did you feel about last season as a Manchester United fan, the fact that Man City won everything?
It was very bittersweet because we started off really badly, losing to Brentford 4-0. I think we lost the next match as well. We thought it's going to be a really horrible season. But then I think United did make some progress under Ten Hag. The mid part of the season was really good. And then at the end, again, we slumped when the injuries and suspensions came in. So as a United fan, just looking at United, I think it was a bittersweet season. But looking at City having won the treble, of course, I would have to say it was a really bad season for us to be a United fan. What about you, Ole?
I mean, that was a great summary. And it felt, honestly, City winning the treble, I felt bad, but I also felt like nobody really talked about it as much. Maybe because there were not a lot of Man City fans where we lived it.
Shots fired.
I'm not shooting it anyway. It just felt very empty and hollow. Like, it's just like, it was like, oh yeah, they won it. Great. You know, like, what next? You know, I think this is what's going to happen when you have a team like Man City where they are so consistent, they are so good. What's their next height? I think the winning the Champions League was what they really wanted to do. They had to bring Erling Braut Haaland to do that. that was the one missing piece they had, I guess. But it felt very empty. I was sad. I saw the final. But after that, there was nothing much, honestly. There was not much conversation, which is great. It's fine. As a Manchester United fan, yeah, it sucks. But we move on. And hopefully this season, we can challenge them. We've got some new recruits. We shall talk about the future podcast episodes, if there are any. But today's episode, we will be primarily focusing on fantasy football. Arjun, how was your fantasy football season last season? You did better than me. I gave up on
it. In some of my other leagues, I think I did pretty all right as well. Although not as well as I would have expected. I think there were some missed weeks where, you know, I kept on the wrong player or benched the wrong player or transferred the wrong player. I think there is some improvement still to be made from last season. But between the two of us, yeah, I guess I did better. But that's just probably because you didn't do well.
Yeah, it's all luck, you know. That's what I'd say. Like, when I win, it's kill. You know? It's all luck. No, but to be fair, there were quite a number of bad calls that I made. But I think we will move on. Let's not talk about the past a lot. And let's talk about the future.
It's a fresh new season. Just as it is for United, it is for you as well.
Yes, it is so weird. No, but like, it was really bad last season. I think the previous season, I was in the top 140-150K. Yes. Last season, I was in the top 600K. It was just real bad.
Wow.
Number of bad calls. Even my triple captain was not that great. Yeah. as a chip strategy, but hopefully...
That's true. I think ever since I started playing with you, last season was probably the most comfortable I've had against you.
Yes, that is true. We have had, but we have had seasons where we alternate winners, where I win one, you win one, I win one, you win one. But yeah, last season was quite comfortable. But hopefully this season I can challenge.
Yep.
So yeah, let's just get into it. Last season, so this season there are a number of just it's the same game. It's the same thing. Players get points for how they perform. Strikers get points for goals. Defenders get more points for goals and everything. So we don't need to go through the rules. What we will primarily talk about is we divided the players into four different sections. We'll talk about goalkeepers this season. Arjun, do you have any particular goalkeeper in your team or in your watch list that you find interesting in this season? Yeah,
thanks. Thanks for the question, Uday. So this came as a surprise pick to myself. I surprised myself with this pick because over the past few seasons, even though De Gea has been pretty good, I have never really picked a United keeper just because we haven't kept enough clean sheets. But last season, United actually kept the most clean sheets in the league, which makes the signing of Onana really interesting for me, especially since I think he's going to bring a little more solidity to United. And he comes in slightly cheaper at 5 million, if I'm not mistaken, than the other popular goalkeeper picks like Alisson or Ederson. And there's also no standout goalkeeper from the lower team for me this season, at least looking at it right now. For example, David Raya is moving away from Brentford. So I don't see any other top goalkeepers in the lower clubs. So Onana, I think, for me, is the goalkeeper pick and might be who I'm going with, at least for the first few weeks.
Yeah, that's really a good point. He's, of course, he's untested. Nobody knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
We have heard rumors of him being a very risky goalkeeper, where he tends to play. He's a goalkeeper that plays with the ball, like a Ederson or Alisson type of situation, where they start from the back and everything. There may be a lot of risk involved. But yes, I agree. Manchester United had the highest number of clean sheets, and he's a very interesting pick. For me, as Arjun said, I had Raya and Pope. Last season, Raya was the highest scoring goalkeeper last season, and Pope was the third highest scoring goalkeeper. This season, as Raya is leaving, I am still trying to get a Brentford goalkeeper. The second choice goalkeeper for Brentford is called Flecken. Raya got 12 clean sheets last season. Brentford were the second or the third in terms of defensive stats with regards to clean sheets. And I can see Brentford still keeping that same solidity at the back, as well as trying to push for European competitions for this season, as they just slightly missed it out on last season's Premier League spot. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they missed it out against Aston Villa. Aston Villa got the last European spot. And yeah, so that's my goalkeeper, Flecken. I have a second goalkeeper that's 4 million, which is Areola. He's most probably just going to be a bench fodder. He's just going to stay in the bench and do nothing. But if he does play and if he gets me points, that's great. I don't see the point of going past 5 million, as what Arjun said, as a goalkeeper. For those of you who want to look around, I remember at the start of last season, I said Jose Sa might be someone that's interesting, the Wolves goalkeeper. Arjun, what do you think of Jose Sa's prospect this season? He still finished fourth behind Pope.
Yeah, I do like Jose Sa as a goalkeeper, but I think two seasons ago, he was really good in FPL as well. And Wolves as a team were keeping a lot of clean sheets. He had a lot of save points. But I think last season, their defense really declined. Wolves as a team really went down. They were close to relegation battle for a major part of the season. And I see that trend continuing as well, because I don't think they've recruited well or any players. They've lost Ruben Neves to Saudi as well, who was their main defensive midfielder, their captain. And so I feel like although Jose Sa is a really top goalkeeper, I think they're going to concede a lot of goals. Defensively, I don't think they're going to look solid this season.
Right, that's interesting. So I guess Jose Sa is a big no.
for me at least, yeah, he's a big no.
For you at least. What else do you think? You'll look at an Arsenal goalkeeper. Rumors saying that David Raya might go to Arsenal. Ramsdale's in Arsenal still. Arsenal did pretty well last season. They finished second. And Ramsdale himself got 14 clean sheets. What do you think of that?
Yeah, Ramsdale is definitely a very good I would say even a differential pick, because I have not seen him being talked about a lot this season as a goalkeeper in FPL. Given that, you know, Arsenal did have a pretty good defensive solidity last season when all their first choice defenders were fit. I think Ramsdale is a good shout, and he does make quite a bit of saves. Even he's a good penalty saver as well.
Yeah. We saw that in the Community Shield that happened recently.
I think the only point against Ramsdale is that you might want to fit three outfield Arsenal players instead. Yeah, I see a lot of potential in, you know, going for more like two double Arsenal midfielders and maybe a centre back or something like that.
Yes, that was what I was going to talk about later, but you took my
point. Oh, sorry.
But it's fine. We will now then talk about the defenders since you brought up defensive positions.
Yeah.
So I guess I will start since Arjun started earlier. We were talking about defenders and how Arsenal's defensive Arsenal had a good defensive stat. I have one Arsenal defender in my team, which is William Saliba. I think he was one of the interesting defenders that scored two goals and had one assist last season. And he, throughout the season, he kept at least, if I'm not mistaken, clean sheets. Let me look at the clean sheet stats. We became prepared this season. He had 12 clean sheets. So that's pretty solid as a defender. And he's only priced at 5 million. So that's who I have in mind. Do you have any Arsenal defender this season, Arjun?
Yes, so I do. I have Gabriel instead of Saliba.
Okay.
So that it was a toss-up for me between Gabriel and Saliba. But they are at the same price point of 5 million. And I felt Gabriel had a bit more offensive threat last season compared to Saliba. And Saliba was a bit more unlucky with injuries as well. So I think based on that, I went more towards Gabriel. But purely as a defender, I think Saliba is a better pick.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. Thanks to see that, my pick. It's very defensive. I guess we can move on to the other defensive positions.
Yeah.
One of my favorite players, especially at the back end of last season, is Brighton defender Estupinan.
Legend.
Butchered his name, but he's in my team. I think Brighton, as a team, they are very cohesive and they push their fullbacks forward. And Estupinan is one of their fullbacks that they have. He was involved in a number of attacking returns as well last season. He had one goal and seven assists, which, and as well as this season where they're trying to push for Europe, I think he definitely is a standout option for the first three game weeks at least, where Brighton are playing against Luton, Wolves and West Ham. Arjun, what are your thoughts on Estupinan?
Legend. I think he was the first defender pick on my FPL draft this season. So when I was thinking about defenders, I think, and I don't say this lightly, but yeah, he was definitely the first name on my mind. And he was the first name to go into my draft as well. And I can't speak highly enough of him. I think I like putting fullbacks in my FPL team. And he's probably one of the best offensive fullbacks. And the way Roberto De Zerbi likes to play in his Brighton team as well, where, like you mentioned, they push the fullbacks really high up. I think he's going to get a lot of assists and maybe even some goals.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, more than one goal at least this season and give us some points.
Yeah.
Speaking of fullbacks, I have a Manchester United player, surprisingly. Luke Shaw is in my team. Last season, Luke Shaw, with regards to defenders, wasn't that high, but at least we discussed earlier how Manchester United had a lot of clean sheets. That's one of the reasons why I've had him, was because Manchester United had 12 clean sheets last season. De Gea had the Golden Glove, which means he won the most number of clean sheets. And with the introduction of Onana, I feel Manchester United may be a bit more defensive, solid this season. So I have him in my team. Last season, he's got one goal and four assists. I don't know, Arjun, if you have any Manchester United player or you even have... Or do you think this is a bad idea? Please. I guess, do you think this is a bad idea? Let's just have a look at that discussion point.
Okay. So, I do have a Manchester United player, but not in a defender position.
Okay.
So, Luke Shaw, I did think a little bit about him and I still might put him in. But at the moment, he's not in my team. Just purely because of the balance of my team, which I think when we speak about forwards and midfielders, we'll probably figure out. I think I just had a bit more cash to spread elsewhere. So I did
Okay.
go for Luke Shaw. But
Yeah.
speaking about fullbacks, I did go for Ben Chilwell. I'm not sure whether you
Huh.
have him.
Okay. Okay.
Because I think
I
last
do.
season he was unfortunate with injuries. I mean, I still might switch him to Luke Shaw just because Chelsea weren't doing that well last season, and I'm not too sure about them this season. But his preseason form has been amazing. He's been flying forward under the new Pochettino system. He's scored goals and he's assisted. He looks really good in this Pochettino system, and that sort of tilted him over Luke Shaw for me. So I've gone with Ben Chilwell as one of my other defenders in this FPL team.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. The only reason why I don't have a Chelsea player, even in my team, first team as well, is I think Chelsea play Liverpool at their first game.
Yep, they do.
And historically, this match has ended 0-0 like 700 times. It ended like 0-0 the last four times they played each other. It's actually quite good in a defensive perspective, which means defenders get points if it's a 0-0. But like I think with a Chelsea player, I'm just going to wait and see for like 2 to 3 game weeks. Have a look at Pochettino's system. Whatever system that's played in the preseason may not be the actual system. But yes, Ben Chilwell does look very interesting. And Chelsea's games after the first game week actually becomes very tasty. After game week 1 against Liverpool, they play West Ham away, Luton at home, Forest at home, Bournemouth away. These are the four fixtures. And then they, of course, they have a tough fixture against Aston Villa. So they have one difficult fixture and four good fixtures right after that. These are not to say that these are guaranteed points, but these are definitely fixtures in which you can see Ben Chilwell scoring some points. Because teams like Bournemouth and Forest are not known for keeping clean sheets or defensive stability. So yes, Ben Chilwell is in my radar. He might be swapped at the start of the season or it might be swapped later on. I guess we'll move on. I have four defenders in my team, in my first players. I have my final defender is Akanji.
Okay.
I have a Man City defender there. I think I wanted to have at least a minimum of two Man City players. This is just a wild card pick. No particular reason. Man City is still one of the best defensive teams in the Premier League. And he was one of the players that I thought that might be playing consistently. He did play in the Community Shield, but not that well, of course. So I don't know. Maybe Pep might rotate it. And this is again, wild card pick. I might not stick with him at the end of this. I might stay with him later on. So I don't know. Arjun, do you have three playing defenders or four playing defenders like me?
So I have three playing defenders, but even though I mentioned Ben Chilwell, he's actually on the substitute bench for my first game break. So I have Matty Cash. As
damn.
third defender. So again, I think Aston Villa were a really exciting team last season. And even this season, in preseason, they have been flying, really scoring a lot of goals. They are looking really good. And just like Ben Chilwell, Matty Cash has been flying forward, supplying assists. I think he even scored one, if I'm not mistaken, in preseason. He's looking really good. The only issue I have with Matty Cash, I think, is when the European fixtures start, Aston Villa might not have a big enough squad. And then, you know, their performances might drop in the Premier League, which is when he might go out of my FPL team. But I think for the first couple of weeks, he should be a pretty solid pick.
Wow, that's quite interesting. Aston Villa play Everton as well. Everton finished 17th position last year, which is just one position
Aston Villa
above.
Play Newcastle first, I think, and then Everton in the second game.
Oh, sorry, I think I'm looking at So they play Newcastle. They play Aston Villa. Aston Villa play Newcastle. That's quite interesting. It's away from home.
Yeah.
That's quite a bold move, Arjun. Newcastle last season as well. They were quite good defensively. I remember having Trippier and Newcastle themselves. Pope, remember I told you about Pope? They kept 16 clean sheets last season. The master of dark arts, I see. So, kind of a wild pick, I see, with Matty Cash.
I mean, the first game week, it's a bit of a risky pick, but I think game week 2 onwards, at least for maybe 2 or 3 game weeks, it should be a pretty solid.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And
defenders.
I mean, I didn't go with any Man City defender in the end because, you know, Pep Roulette.
Yeah.
It's crazy, especially after he bought Guardiola.
Yeah.
We don't know who his first centre-back pairing is going to be. You know, there's Diaz, there's Ake. Laporte might be on his way out, but, you know, we still have so many centre-backs. I think most nailed defender for Man City would probably be John Stones, because he
Yes.
tends to play in midfield, and I think
Yes.
he might be most undroppable defender, Man City defender at the moment. But I think he's slightly more expensive than the other centre backs.
Yes, yes. So John Stones is 5.5. I still have money in my cash, my bank account. Again, Akanji might stay, might leave, might be Stones.
Yeah.
He's the questionable one there. The core players remains Flecken, Arat Saliba, Estupinan, Shaw. We'll talk about the midfield core players as well. So this guy, so Akanji is the questionable one.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, this is we have to have different teams, right? Because everything will be so boring. And no risk, no reward, lah. Maybe Matty Cash might score like a hat trick of assists in game week one, even though it's Newcastle.
Maybe Akanji might score. You never know.
You never know. You know, that's the whole point. So yeah, I guess we will now move on to our next section, which is the midfield section.
Yeah.
Quite a number of midfielders this season. I think instead of talking about our team players, we can talk about the interesting midfield options available. So of course there's the premium players like Mo Salah, as well as you can consider Kevin De Bruyne under the premium, where Kevin De Bruyne is 10.5 and Mo Salah is 12.5. Arjun, I remember this one season where I decided to not start with Mo Salah, and it was a terrible week against me where Mo Salah scored against a hat-trick against Leeds. Do you think it's time to not start with Mo Salah in game week one again?
Okay, so very interesting. But this season, I in the past have started with Mo Salah. I think in the past 2-3 seasons, I've always started with Mo Salah. But this season, I'm leaning towards not starting Mo Salah for a couple of reasons.
No Salah. Yes,
no Salah.
No Salah.
Yes. I think the first reason is because he has sort of adapted his, if you look at Liverpool's preseason fixtures, he's adapted his attacking style to play more as a playmaker rather than a finisher. So he has more assists than goals. And it seems like the other attacking players like Jota, Diaz, maybe even Gakpo, Nunes might shoulder the goal scoring burden, and Salah might be left with assists. Of course, I think he's still on penalty duty, so he will still get goals. But whether he's worth at the 12.5 million price point, I'm not too sure. Which is why I feel like I'm not going to start with him, especially since, you know, Haaland is a must-have. So 14 million is gone there. So I just feel that 12.5 million is better utilized if you get a few, you know, 8 million, 9 million midfielders instead. So that's the approach I've gone with instead. How about you?
Interesting. Again, as of now, I have no Salah. And I will most probably start the season without Salah because of what you said. There have been a lot of talk and discussions which I read online on forums as well, indicating that Salah has been more of a creative midfielder or an attacker rather than the one that's scoring a lot of goals. I think they are trying to play the system where they get Gakpo as well as make sure Darwin Núñez is scoring more goals, because that at the end of the... I mean, we're limiting the guys' responsibilities here, but technically strikers are supposed to score goals, right? We saw it last season with Haaland. He scored over 50 over goals in as many competitions. In the Premier League, he scored 36 goals. Kane also scored 30 goals. So Liverpool don't have a 30-goal striker or a 20-goal striker, but they're trying to mold, develop one with Darwin Núñez. Whether that's going to work or not, it's a wait and see. So that's why I don't have Salah on my team, even though he was the top scoring midfielder. And I guess a lot of people might not have him. For those of you who want to have him, it's still not a bad pick. It's still not a bad pick. He, like I said, last season, he was still the top midfielder. He still scored 19 goals. And again, after the Chelsea game, Liverpool play against Bournemouth, which is a match in which you can captain Mo Salah as usual. It's at home. And then they play Newcastle, Aston Villa and Wolves. They have quite a number of easy fixtures until game week 12. So if you were to get him, he may be a set and forget player. And then you brought up the whole 8 to 9 million midfielders. One of the midfielders that I have in my team that was, again, a number one player was Bukayo Saka. Do you have Bukayo Saka in your team, Arjun?
Yes, of course.
Joint top scorer for Arsenal with 15 goals last season. He had 14 goals. I think Odegaard and Martinelli had 15. Yeah, correct. So he was the second highest goal scorer, right? Bukayo Saka, Odegaard and Martinelli were the joint top scorers. So I have Saka in my team. Even in preseason, he's still performing really well, Arjun.
Yeah.
Right? Scored, I think, at least 2 goals
yeah.
preseason and definitely has an easy game against Nottingham Forest. Arsenal's first, I don't know, 7 games look pretty easy on paper. Forest, Palace, Fulham. Manchester United is quite easy to score against.
Not wrong.
Not wrong. Yeah. But at Everton Spurs. So besides the Manchester United game, for like the first 7 games, it's quite easy. So having Bukayo Saka is definitely a no-brainer. Arjun, did I miss out any points?
No, I think you pretty much covered it all regarding
Saka. Yeah, okay. So besides Bukayo Saka, we also have Arsenal's own and the top-scoring midfielder as well as the second-highest midfielder, Martin Odegaard, who had a pretty good second half of the season after post-World Cup, which I never really had him last season. Arjun, did you have Martin Odegaard last season?
I think I had him for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, him for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Do you think you're starting with him this season?
No. So I've gone with two Arsenal midfielders,
okay.
Which is Saka and Martinelli. Just because I think Odegaard, once again, as in the case of Salah, he plays as a creative playmaker in the number 10 role. And if you see his game, he's more about providing assists, dropping a little bit deeper, allowing Saka and Martinelli to run into the spaces. So I think Saka and Martinelli might get more points than Odegaard.
There we go.
Yeah.
Interesting, interesting. I guess I don't even have Odegaard in my team. He was there, but he's not one of the core players. I have shifted him around. He might come back again. I don't know, depending on my mood. The only reason was that I actually had two. Initially, I had Saka, Odegaard, and Jesus. But ever since Jesus got injured, I decided to get an Arsenal defender instead. And besides Odegaard, we have Marcus Rashford, who's also in the 8-9 million zone. Arjun, do you have Marcus Rashford with you? I have Marcus Rashford. It's Manchester United. Wonder kid, right?
So, how many United midfielders do you have?
I only have one Manchester United midfielder so far.
Yeah.
But I know...
Do you have two Arsenal midfielders or only one?
I only have one Arsenal midfielder as well.
Ah, interesting. Okay,
I know, I know.
I went with only one Manchester United midfielder and it isn't Rashford.
Uh-huh.
So, Bruno Fernandes.
Yes. There was once again, discussion I think, point.
Yeah, once again, I think it's a really tight pick. I might still switch to Rashford. The only reason I went with Bruno is because I didn't see enough from Rashford in preseason. But then again, the entire United team didn't really perform that well.
Yeah.
And Bruno is on free kick and penalties. And just because of that, I think he edged it over Rashford. But I might still switch it to Rashford, given that I don't expect our new signing, Holian, to start in the first few game weeks, which means Rashford will start up top. And he still has a threat of goals. So I might still switch to Rashford. But I think between Bruno and Rashford, it's both a pretty good pick. And I think they're both in the same price range as well.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Bruno Fernandes this season, I think last season it was at a 10.5, which is a weird pick. The fact that Haaland was there and people were still keeping Salah in their team. And then Kane was doing really well. But this season, Bruno Fernandes is in a questionable 8.5. Price range in which, he's 8.5, right? He's in a questionable price range where you still can provide, he's still pretty solid in value. He still scored 8 goals and had 9 assists last season. If he still continues his form, he might even be better now that Manchester United finally has a number 9 or a forward striker as the person who does a lot of assists. You know, we're talking about how Salah as well as Odegaard has a lot of assist potential of the playmaker. In Manchester United, Bruno Fernandes is the playmaker. And for those of you who want to have Bruno Fernandes in your team, great. Arjun has it in his team. I have Rashford purely because of goal potential as well as Rashford's form. He did score in preseason in the last game or last two games ago, Rashford.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And hopefully he will score again in Game Week 1 where Manchester United play against Wolves.
At home.
And so then you have Saka, Martinelli, Bruno Fernandes. Do you have another two more midfielders?
Yes, I do. So these two are who I would consider differential picks probably. So the first one is Eze. I think this is an interesting differential pick because, especially because Wilfred Zaha has departed Crystal Palace to go to Galatasaray.
Yeah.
So there will be a bit more burden on the likes of Eze and Olise to score. And Crystal Palace are a solid team who will get the odd goals. And at his price point of 6.5, I think it's a decent pick. He did chip in with a decent amount of goals and assists last season. I think he got like 10 goals and 5 assists, which for a 6.5 million midfielder is pretty decent. So he's my first differential midfielder. My second
Absolutely.
differential midfielder is
yeah.
a Brighton midfielder, and
oh,
it's
yeah?
not Mitoma.
Oh,
Enciso. So I think Enciso was a really interesting player to watch last season. He played more towards the end of last season, and he was a slightly different type of player to Mitoma, but very exciting to watch nevertheless. Scored a couple of critical goals, gave some assists as well. I think he got 4 goals and 3 assists in just like 7 matches or something like that last season, which is a pretty good stat. And his price point, I think, is a whole 1 million less than Mitoma as well. So, which is why I saved money on Mitoma to get Enciso. But, it might change as the season progresses. But yeah, those are my midfield choices. What about you, Uday?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually quite interesting. Like I said earlier, and with you as well, Brighton have really good 3 fixtures at the start of the season. Having someone like an Enciso, which is about 1 million less than Mitoma. I have Mitoma in my team. He wasn't in my team earlier because remember I told you I had the Arsenal, but then I moved my team around and decided to get Mitoma as well as I got Mbeumo, Brian Mbeumo from Brentford.
Yeah.
So Ivan Toney is Brentford striker, and he had a ban until January of next year. So a lot of attacking burden from Brentford has gone to Brian Mbeumo. Last season he scored 9 goals and 9 assists. At the end of last season he had a number of good fixtures as well as food. As in he was on form. I don't have the number stats to back me up here, but he was quite on form. And the first five games looked quite interesting for Brentford, where they play against Spurs, Fulham, Crystal Palace, and Bournemouth. So I'm hoping, again, it's not fixed, but these are my 2 players. I'm Mitoma, and maybe I might switch to Enciso. Enciso might play more often because McAllister has left and he's gone to Liverpool. So you never know. I might be convinced and might get Enciso in my team as well. So the
Would
reason
you
why
up
I have
and get Enciso as well as Mitoma, or
I might, but after game week 3, then this all depends on whether I'm going to wildcard at the start or maybe later on in the thing. If I'm deciding to wildcard later on, I most probably might not double up because after the first 3 game weeks, Brighton has some difficult fixtures where they start playing against Newcastle at home, Manchester United away, Liverpool at home, Man City away. Now, all of these fixtures are stacked in between the match against Aston Villa and Bournemouth as well. So I might just most probably have 2 Brighton players. And the reason why my midfield is pretty light compared to everyone else or compared to yours as well is I have a very, very heavy forward line. This is quite surprising.
Yeah.
But I don't see a lot of people talking about this. I have a Haaland and Kane draft with me.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people have very midfield heavy players. I have very striker heavy players. And both of these players already take up a quarter of my bank account. 1 million, right? So Haaland's at 14 this season, most expensive player in the FPL this season. I think 14 is the most expensive with regards to a lot of players. So this season he's the most expensive, and I have Kane at 12.5. Last season Haaland scored 36 goals and Kane scored 30 goals, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 30 goals and 9 assists, right? That's just both of them come up to 68 goals. And at the end of the day, what is FPL about? Getting the most points. You get a lot of points with goals, right? Goals, assists, attacking returns. And Spurs have a new manager this season with Ange Postecoglou. He was managing a Scottish side last season. Well, give me a second. Let me. Arjun, do you remember what was he managing last season?
Celtic.
Yeah. He was managing Celtic last season, and even in preseason, Spurs have scored a lot of goals. If I'm not mistaken, there was a 5-1 recently, where Spurs defeated a team who's give me 1 second. So they beat Shakhtar Donetsk 5-1, and in that Kane, Harry Kane scored 4 goals. So of course, preseason matches does not equate to first game week form, but I think having a very heavy attacking duo is most probably why my midfielder is very light. Arjun, please tell me whether my striker plan makes sense or is it the dumbest idea in the history of mankind?
I mean, I think with regards to FPL, there's not that many dumb ideas. Because you, at the end of the day, I mean, it is a 20%, 30% gamble. Like, you never know how things will turn out. Going striker, I mean, personally, it's not a choice that I make. But that's just because I prefer my midfield to be stacked heavier than my forward line. But, I mean, your logic makes sense. Like, Haaland and Kane are the two best strikers in the league. And having them both, I don't think you can go wrong. The good thing about it is, you know, if one has a bad day, you can probably count on the other to make up the difference in points. So I think it's still a pretty good strategy. I do have Erling Haaland, of course. I think you have to have the best striker in the league. Like you mentioned, he's got 36 goals last season, and he is undroppable for Man City. Mm-hmm. And he's basically a Terminator. I think you have to have him. My second striker is Ollie Watkins from Aston Villa again. Once again, I mean, he's played really well. Even in preseason, he scored a few goals. And the attacking midfielders for Aston Villa have started to really provide Ollie Watkins with a lot of service. So I think he might be doing pretty well. But interesting pick going with two premium forwards. It's something I never considered.
No, I mean, I had a look at the striking position, right? It's either I go with exactly what you told about Haaland and Watkins, What was the reason that most probably... Like, so I had Watkins and then I changed things around. So initially, it was Haaland and Jesus. Then Jesus got injured. And then I switched from Jesus to Watkins. And previously, I had two Arsenal midfielders, Rashford, and I think I had some other midfielder before this. And then looking at the forward line, I was like thinking, besides Haaland, besides Watkins, besides Jesus, I'm not going to get Wilson. I'm not going to get a Solanke who's playing for Bournemouth. Tony is banned until the end of the season. Tony is the third scoring striker.
Yeah.
So, none of these guys like shout out as a 20-goal striker for me or a striker that's going to score a lot of goals. Spurs have also improved their midfield as well, where they have gotten Maddison, who's going to be really good potentially as an assist maker. Son as well is somebody that we didn't discuss, but even he said that last season he was carrying an injury and this season he looks way more fit. Again, everything's a wait and see with Spurs. So that's the reason why I went very striker heavy. I still have 1 million in the bank, which can easily downgrade one of Shaw or Akanji to a cheaper defender and help to improve my midfield situation if I want to do that. So I am very flexible. And I want to keep this flexibility at least the first few game weeks, depending on what I want to do, when I want to wildcard moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any money in the bank?
I have 3 million in the bank.
Yeah, 3 million in the bank.
and exactly the same reason. I was thinking of upgrading someone to a player at a higher price bracket. But I think having that extra cushion in the bank for the first few weeks is pretty important for you to make tweaks. Yeah. If your bets didn't work out.
Definitely. Especially with price rises and the number of players. There are more and more players playing. More and more players will... FPL players, I meant. More and more players will buy and sell players. This will then cause a rapid or quick increase of prices with each particular player. You're already starting with Haaland at 14 million. You can see Haaland going up to like 14.5 before... Like at least at the middle of the season, more than 14.5 already if he continues his form as last season. So yeah. I think this is about time we have, Arjun. Thank you for joining today's session.
Thanks, Ade. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. Looking forward to the new season. And hopefully I get to beat you this time.
We'll see. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, listeners.